Welcome to Let's Talk Land, weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant, broker owner of United Country Real Estate, land pro, buying or selling homes, land or farms in western Piedmont, North Carolina, or southern Virginia. Just give us a shout. We'd be glad to help you. Our office is at 3349 Cook School Road in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, off of Highway 52, exit 136 across from Foothills Hardware and Building Supply. We also share office space with POP Design for all of your graphic needs. Our company website is www.mylandpro.com. Our show today is to review our past 33 shows. To help me do this, I've asked Rodney Booth of WKTE 1090, to our host, to join me in discussions.
Good morning there, Lou.
Well, good morning.
You're looking mighty spry
this
morning.
Well, I took a shower.
That explains it.
Yeah, I try to every day.
Shadow, is that true?
Shadow. Be careful.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome, Ronnie. It's hard to believe we've already done 33 shows so far.
I know. Time flies.
It's crazy. But they've all been good.
Yeah, they have.
And getting a lot of good feedback.
Good, interesting stuff that people did not know about land.
Yeah, and there's so much more to even talk about. And you know, when I first met you and we talked about even having a show, I remember you said, would you like to do a 30-minute show or would you like to do a one-hour show?
Yeah.
And as you know, I've been teaching the Realtors Land Institute Land 101 course all over the United States. That's a 16-hour, two-day course. Mm. And that's just one of 15 courses.
Oh.
So you can imagine, one of those is a three-day course. So you can imagine all the aspects around land. Like I say, it's a little four-letter word, but it's got a long, long tail.
Yes.
And as you start dissecting it, and that's what these shows are about, to help people learn more of some of the concepts. And specifically, we'll be reviewing here, you know, say like for timber, John Shimpley is my forester that I had on and also had our instructor on that teaches the two-day forestry class. But on the website, www.letstalkland.net, without the apostrophe, letstalkland.net, on the second page, there's an overview of the show, but it's also the person's email address. So anyone that's listening to the show that may have a question on timber or any of the subjects that we've talked about, you know, I've asked all of the people, the guests that we've had on the show to, you know, be available if someone had questions and help them. They've all agreed to do that. So I just want to point that out again, that those resources are available to anyone at any time to communicate with and hopefully help out with some of the questions.
And tell them once again how they can go to that website.
It's www.letstalkland.net without the apostrophe. Mm-hmm. It's .net, not .com.
Okay.
So let's review some of these guests, and you'll remember them. And as a layperson, you know, be interested to see what you thought about that particular guest and what you picked up. I mean, it's been a learning curve for you as well.
It has.
Yeah. It's you remind me of that. Like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know that, right?
Yeah.
But our first guest was Tom Martinez.
Yeah.
He's from Florida. He's a fellow radio station owner, and his wife was a broadcaster and actually had her own CNN show for the Latin countries for years. And they own a lot of real estate in Florida. And a number of years ago, he contacted me about possibly investing in land in North Carolina. And we actually bought two different tracts that I helped him develop. I've done over 60 rural subdivisions, and most of those are in our area. We have a 10-acre rule. As long as you stay 10 acres or more, you don't have to go before any government group or organization. You just go break it up and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're doing a lot less than 10 acre survey, then now you got to go for the planning board and do the surveys and all the stuff, build the roads. And sometimes the ones I've done, it's taken maybe $1 million. You know, and by the time you get everything signed off on, it's 2 years later to put a for sale sign on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a totally different type of developing. But I actually did two for Tom. He bought a 72-acre tract over in the western part of Surrey County where the R.J. Reynolds is called Devotion Area, where they had at one time over, I think, 12,000 acres and had built several homes back in the late 1800s and 1900s as a getaway. And this was actually in that same little community. And I made 10, 7 10-acre tracts which we sold over time. And then in Stokes County, in Danbury, our capital,
yes,
population 118, it's a booming place.
Yes.
But behind the old courthouse, there was a 43-acre tract, and part of that was in the city limits with the water and sewer, and the rest of it was in the what's called the ETJ, extraterritorial jurisdiction. But anyway, we made on Three Ridges half-acre circle lots, which was a concept that Frank Lloyd Wright had done when he was challenged to create a rural subdivision back at the turn of the century in the 1900s. And but anyway, we made 26 half-acre circle lots, mm-hmm. and paved the road coming in, but we got a variance because we wanted to have gravel roads internally just for the aesthetics and so on. So we I encouraged him to allow the town to voluntarily annex the additional land for tax base in exchange for us not having. We built them to NC State DOT specs, but they're not paved. It's NC State gravels. But that was a real interesting show, and Tom's been a great friend and his family. And did you learn anything from that or anything, glean anything?
Oh, yes. And where you had the property at in Danbury is a perfect location for a getaway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, the concept is we built a couple log cabins there, and it's for log cabins only, mm-hmm. on those half-acre circles, and those are rented out. A lot of people, you know, the VSROB type program where instead of going to a hotel, you actually go rent a home.
Right.
And that's very, very popular. I know on one of the homes last year brought in over $30,000. Mm-hmm. That home's for sale, by the way. Oh. And so a person,
you
if they're,
have it for sale?
Yeah, I do. And if a person wanted to buy it and use it like they do, they come up from Florida a couple times a year, bring the family, mm-hmm. And then in the other times they're renting it. So it's not a bad concept. It's a different way to pay for your second home, you know.
That's right.
So if you're interested,
paid off in no time.
Oh, if you're interested, we'll build you a log cabin.
Hey,
you never know, right?
That's right.
Okay. Our next guest was Dale Fulp with Rogers Realty and Auction in Mount Airy. He's an accredited land consultant like I am, but he's also a CAI, being an auctioneer. That's a Certified Auctioneer Institute. That's their highest designation. That they award the person that meets their requirements. And we talked about the auction advantage. Remember, it's like, should I put it up for sale or should I auction? What's the benefits? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a 30-day close. Usually it's about 60 days to market it. It's focused marketing. It's aggressive marketing. It's times of the essence. It's sold as is, so you're not... You know, the buyer has to do their due diligence prior to the auction. Mm-hmm. When the gavel goes down, they usually put down 10%, and they got 30 days to close. So if a person's looking to liquidate property in a more timely fashion, the auction advantage is that.
Yeah.
And you remember he's talking about, you know, when you list something, you put a price on it, and that establishes a ceiling, okay? You're not probably going to ask any more for that and probably not get the full price, whereas an auction, there's no ceiling. It's really interesting, the property. I mean, there was one done a couple months ago in my area on a little 10-acre track, and there were two bidders that really wanted. One was a property joint owner, and another one just wanted it. And, you know, normally that track would probably bring $4,000 or $5,000 an acre. It was bid up to $10,000 an acre.
Good gosh.
So, you know, even if you listed it at $5,000, you're not going to get $10,000.
Yeah.
So, and Dale and I go way back. We probably do two or three auctions a year. I don't have an auction license, but I'll have a client that'll come to me wanting me to sell their property. And then as we talk further, they say, I really need to move this for whatever reason. And I'll say, well, why don't we do an auction? I bring Dale into the partnership, and we kind of split on that. I help promote it. He helps promote it. And then, of course, you know, it works out for everyone.
And another thing to point out there also is the have an auction. Used to, they would say, you know, the person had to be deceased or something to have an auction, but
right.
You don't have to do
no,
that.
No, well, hopefully if you're deceased, you're not going to be doing much of anything. Right, Shadow?
Shadow's having a good time here.
Hopefully it's a live person.
Yeah.
And then the next one was Mark Royster of Royster & Royster. His father's a twin, and he has a twin brother.
Yeah.
There's all these twins around. But his dad, Mike, you know, I've done a lot of closings. I had 10 closings in one day, which was crazy. But that's when the market was really, really hot back in 94 and 95. Mm-hmm. And it's almost back there again today. It's a good time to buy, and it's also a good time to sell. Interest rates are still low. So you guys give us a call, and we'll guide you in the right direction. But we talked about, you know, the difference in closing a home loan versus closing a land or farm, which has a home loan. And there's all kinds of different issues that you don't have in selling a home, like a survey or a perk test if it's in a rural area and you need to put in a septic system. There may be some protective covenants that you have to agree to or disagree to. And you got timber, you got deferments. There's deferments where people can have 20 acres or more in this particular area of certified forestry by a forester. It's an analysis that's written up and actually filed with the county that shows that it is a timber crop. And instead of like 70 cents per thousand, it may be deferred to 32 cents per thousand. And then, of course, if you sell that property, then the new buyer, if they don't want that deferment to continue, which it doesn't cost them anything, I don't know why they wouldn't, then the county can go back and collect up to 3 to 4 years of back taxes on the difference that wasn't paid. I'm closing one right now on Volunteer Road that was five tracks, and the total tracks created the deferment. But by selling off one track, it voids out the ag part of the forestry firm. Is still enough left. And so the county's going to go back and cap because of the timing of the – when they put the taxes out, that's what that – it's 3 or 4 years. So it's now in the fourth year collection, and it's $3,700. That's real money. That the either the buyer's going to have to add to their purchase price or the seller's going to have to reduce. It's not coming out of my commission.
No.
But
Or shadows.
Yeah, she sells more land than I do. The next show we had was Ron Loftus, who's an MAI, another acronym. That's Master Appraisal Institute, and he's also a realtor. And he is the MAI allows you to do any. He could appraise the Empire State Building or a bridge or anything high. You know, so it's unlimited. Where just a regular appraiser just does houses, or some of them just do land, or combinations of. But Ron and had taken. I have a 4-hour class that I created for the state of North Carolina called Introduction to Land Brokerage. It's the only land class on the subject of land in the state of North Carolina. We have to have 8 hours of continuing education every year to keep our license here. Virginia's 28 hours every 2 years. And Ron and his wife took my first class, and he said he was so impressed with the class that he wanted me to write one for the North Carolina Board of Appraisers, because if you're MAI, you're dual license, and there's no education for them either. Ron has been writing and teaching for the Institute for a number of years, so I wrote the class for it's called Rural Land Values, Is it an Art or Science? So I wrote the land portion of it, real estate portion, and then Ron wrote the appraisal side of the class. And so that was, you know, the bottom line, what is something worth and what did he say? Remember? It just depends, right?
Yeah, it depends. Yeah.
It depends. There's no, I mean, there is no real value of property. There's an assumed value. There's a scientific analysis value. There's a tax value. You know, there's a realtor CMA value, and then there's a buyer's value, and there's a seller's value.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what is the value? So Ron was a great guy. Our next one was Owen Osborne, my surveyor, and he's out surveying a track for me today so I can get it closed. But, you know, there's so many issues with surveying, overlaps and gaps and floating easements, and there's 11 different types of easements people don't realize, not only just utility, but adverse possession. If you have a piece of property and there's old farm road crossing, I'm crossing your property to get to mine, and I never did have an easement. You know, it was passed on for generations by handshake. But now I need to go to the bank to borrow money. Well, they're not going to lend me money unless I have a legal access to it. Well, you don't want to give it to me. Well, I can take you to court. And because I've had continuous use of egress and ingress on that old road or whatever I've been using for 20 or more years, the court's probably going to award me that easement despite whether you want to do it or not. Now, I may have to pay you for it, which is fair, but the point is the court will, you can take it to court. So,
and also on the survey, and he was talking about something that was hollering distance.
Oh yeah, we found an old deed up in Virginia that I'm working on 500 acres, and this old surveyor, the deed description, you know, you go back and find it, and it refers to an older deed, which refers to an older deed, which refer. There's still no meets and bounds or description. It just refers to the previous deed. And we get back to the 1900s and sitting there reading one. It says 282 feet DBH.
Mm-hmm.
What is DBH?
Distance.
By hollering.
Yeah.
So the clerk came over, and I said, what is this DBH on? She said, Mr. Jewell, she said, this surveyor was surveying back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and we see this once in a while on his calls. And I said, so what does DBH? And she said, DBH stands for distance by hollering. So
at least you didn't have to buy any equipment.
That's true. It's very expensive. But, you know, was it a high humidity day?
was
the wind blowing?
We got to take a break, Lou.
Okay.
But we'll be back with more of Let's Talk Land right now on WKTE.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Land. Rodney, our station manager and producer here, we're reviewing our previous shows. We've had 33 so far, and just to kind of give you a highlight, hopefully if you listen to this show, there may be some stuff that you didn't know about, or maybe we gave some thoughts that's timely for you, and of course you're welcome to go to the website, www.letstalkland.net. Mm-hmm. Of course, we got them on podcast and other things too, which we'll talk about later. Our next guest, Podcast 7, was John Shipley. He's a consulting forester, a Wake Forest graduate. No, he's NC State graduate. Sorry, John. But he and two other guys own Carolina Forestry, which is a real estate firm based out of Raleigh. He works this area. Mm-hmm. And you know, people don't realize timber's cash. It's a crop. And you need to know about it. This is probably, if you're buying rural land or any land and it has timber on it, whether it's small, medium, or large, you know, it's truly not $100 bill cash. But Rodney, if I had 10 acres and I wanted to sell the timber off of it, and I get John and we agree on a price, there's a timber deed that's executed, and I take it to the attorney, they record it, and I pick up a certified check. Mm-hmm. So that's how quick it is. It can be done, really, I've seen them done in 24 hours.
Hmm.
So, but it's important that John really talked extensively about that whole process and how it works and what's involved and types of trees and how they value it and who buys it.
Yeah, and they have they may have to carry it to Greensboro. They may have to carry it to Virginia.
Right.
You know, anywhere.
Yeah. So and then there's seal bid where you just call up a timber buyer and they give you a price. And I don't really like that because it's a lot of funny money and opportunities to get ripped off in some cases. So you want to work with reliable timber folks. And by using a certified forester, too, as your go-between, it's just like using a real estate agent like myself, opposed to selling your land yourself or having an expert sell it, because I'm going to get more for it because I understand how to work the game, okay?
That's right.
So John is one of those that's qualified to guide you, whether he won't buy the timber, but he'll broker it and he'll manage it from the time the equipment pulls in on your property until it rolls out, because there's laws just like Diener. If you disturb more than 1 acre of land in North Carolina, you know, you have to file a erosion control plan, and they come out and check it because they don't want silt running into these streams and mortar courses and other things, erosion. So, you know, the forestry industry, they also have a set of guidelines that they use. Joe Hinton was our next guest. Joe's got a company called Just Soils after retiring from Rockingham County as their environmental health director in Eden. But he provides a service too, in that if a person's buying a piece of land, I have a rule that they either use the county, and the county comes out and actually does the process of determining if the soil is suitable, draws it out, maps it out for the installer. Or a person that says, well, I want to buy the land, but I'm probably not going to build on it for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I don't know exactly where I want to build, but, you know, there's a couple places I would consider, this hill or that knoll or whatever. So you bring Joe in, and Joe does the boring of the soil. and writes up an affidavit of the type of soil, the soil depth, and so on, and puts his soil scientist seal on it. Now, you can't get a building permit with that, but what that does is assures you that that soil is suitable for a system in the future. The third thing is Royster wrote up an affidavit that says that you were advised to do one of these, and you waive your rights and therefore hold harmless everyone that's party to the transaction. So that's the way I sell real estate, and I sleep at night because I know I've done my job. Mm-hmm. But Joe's talked about all the different types of systems. Sometimes you don't have the right soil depth. You don't have the right topography. There are a lot of alternative systems. Some of them are very expensive, $30,000, $40,000, but you can still utilize the piece of land that you probably couldn't use for with a conventional system or a low-pressure system, which just means you're pumping up as opposed to gravity flow down.
Yeah, and even like old tanks, he can come out and inspect those and see if they can...
And find the tail lines, Mm-hmm. Established, especially these old farms. I know in Henry County, they keep records for well and septic installations back to the 50s, which is the oldest I've ever seen. And the counties here, Surrey, Stokes, and of course around the country, each county's different or jurisdiction. But they didn't start keeping them until the early 90s. So if a house was built back in 46 and had a septic system installed, you just got to go out there and find the tank and probe the lines, which usually is gravel baseline. So you can take a probe down. And if you're hitting gravel, you can kind of follow where that goes. And I've actually done that before, not officially. Our next guest was Lou Baldwin. Lou and I go way back even before real estate.
Oh, Lou.
North Carolina Realtor of the Year. And by the way, Lou, I got the Realtor of the Year for the Carolina's chapter last week. So
congratulations there, Lou.
Thank you very much.
For quite two states.
Yeah, North Carolina and South Carolina.
So you got one on Lou.
I got one on Lou. I got one more state than he has.
That's right.
But,
hey, and you know what? The blimp.
Did they find it?
No, but I think it knocked my sign down.
No way.
There. Yes, it did. Something knocked down my billboard.
I bet it was that blimp.
It was.
I think I'd call Lou and see if he's got good insurance. Shadow, what do you think?
Oh, Lou Baldwin.
But Lou is one of those type people. He's in a family business. It's 90. That's what he was celebrating their 90th years in property management. And that's a whole different type of real estate. That's not buying and selling homes or commercial or brokering land. That's managing other people's property, whether it's a home or industrial office buildings or complex. And they're probably the best around. In fact, I know they are. And but Lou has served as our state president of our association, North Carolina, which we have, I think, about 48,000 association in the country of the 50 associations, 50 states. So that's quite an honor to do that, and he did a heck of a job. But he's also with Habitat for Humanity. I mean, you talk about awards. You know, I told him the other day when he got another one, seems like he gets one about every 3 or 4 weeks. You know, he's going to have to build a bigger house to hang all of his awards on. But Lou is gives more than he takes, I can tell you. But we talked about the National Association of Realtors. We talked about the State Association of Realtors. We talked about the MLS and how all that works and, you know, the benefits for us, the realtors, to be able to communicate and have benefits and learn, like what I'm doing, take classes and on houses or commercial property through these institutions. And but that was a really good show. And then I invited Sam Kane on. Now, Sam is an accredited land consultant. He's a GRI, which is the Graduate Realtors Institute. And then he's an ABRN. He's the Assistant Vice President of Real Estate National Sales Manager for Farmers National Company. His office is in Des Moines, Iowa. He was president of our RLI, National President, back in 2005, and did a heck of a job. But they manage over 2.1 million acres of farm and ranch land.
Yeah, they're big time.
Big time. And there's some that's even bigger than them, but they're, I'd say, number two. But there are a lot of institutions that own, mostly out west, these large cow farms or hunting, even hunting clubs, dairy farms, and so on. Excuse me, but they actually do the management for them. And that's what we talked about on Podcast 10. And then one of my favorites, Lance Wartlog, with Carolina Farm Credit, which part is the Farm Credit National organization that was started in 1916 by the federal government to help farmers. Because remember, back turn of the century, over 50% of the population of the United States was farmers. And but it was a program that was set up to help them have low interest rates on their borrowing, buying equipment, buying land, but also annual payments. You know, you make a mortgage on your home, it's every month. Well, this, you know, they're allowed to do annual payments when they get their crops in, or semi-annual, or quarterly, or so on. Mm-hmm. But in 1946, somebody in Congress, and I wish we could get these guys back up there, said, what are we doing running this program? This should be privatized. So they wrote the laws, and they privatized it, and they broke the United States up into certain areas. And people got together at their co-ops and said, Rodney, me and you and Shadow, we're going to take these 40 counties in North Carolina, and we're going to call it Carolina Farm Credit. There's three farm credits in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But anything over 5 acres, and I think this is the point, anything over 5 acres in the banking industry is considered a non-conforming loan. Banks do not like dirt. They want brick and mortar. And there are not a lot of institutions that want to make a conventional loan on a farm, for example, or vacant land. It's also underwritten by Farmer Mac. People talk about Freddie Mac and FHA and so on. Well, there's called Farmer Mac out there. And that's the underwriter for the United States government to insure these land loans. So Google farm credit anywhere in the country, and it'll show you where your nearest office is. But if you're selling, borrowing money for land or even farm equipment, they also have crop insurance and a lot of other programs. But definitely check them out, and they're the best. I've done millions and millions of dollars. I've had my own loans with them. I've never heard one person complain. Believe me, I'm serious about farm credit. Mm-hmm. So,
he's a nice guy there.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Super nice.
Then we have one of my old buddies from West Virginia, Dr. Curtis Seltzer. And he's an author and written a lot of different books. But he wrote one on Dirt Smart, How to Invest in Dirt Smart Land, which is on Amazon. That's not an exact title. I can't remember. I'm sorry. Chad, do you remember what it was? But it's the most definitive book I've ever seen on land. It's over 780 pages. Mm. And these are some of the things that I'm bringing up in these shows. Right. And a lot of the things that I'm looking for is stuff that's in his book and then finding an expert in that field. Mm-hmm. So that was a really fun show. That was Podcast 12. And then we got to Mark Selinger, S-E-E-L-I-N-G-E-R. Excuse me. Dry air. He's the owner of the Swamp School.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah? So did you you want to go to Swamp School, swamp learn about swamp? School,
yeah. We got a bunch of it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, from his opinion there.
But the importance of the Swamp School is wetlands.
Yeah.
And those can be worth, if you're selling land or buying land, those could be worth per acre a whole lot more than an average acre price. So let's say you had 50 acres and 10 acres is wetland. Maybe the 40 acres of it's worth $4,000 an acre, but the 10 acres might be worth $20,000 an acre, because you can actually sell those credits. There's 168 hydroponic plants. He grows them all. Sorry. That are plants that actually bring water out of the ground as opposed to going back in. And so farmers years ago, because they needed more cropland, they would destroy these wetlands, okay, and move the stream courses or water courses. And so if you come back and you actually restore those, you get those credits, and then also if they're existing. What the credits are for, if someone's building a building or a parking lot or the State Department, the government's because building highways, they'll destroy wetlands. Well, for every 1 acre that you destroy, and it depends on what part of the country, there's different ones, you may have to replace it with 3 acres of wetlands, mm-hmm. which may be 20 miles away. So there's what's called a mitigation bank that you sell your wetland credits to, and then those are used to offset that requirement. Mm. But he has a school called the Swamp School in Raleigh. And for anyone right now, he said in the whole real estate land industry that these mitigators, these delineators is what they're called, is the hottest job. They're bringing these kids out of high school and starting them over $100,000 or more if they had the background training, and he's training them as fast as they can. So we're in another growth pattern right now. And of course, there's a lot more people needed to do certain things, but we were talking on the phone the other day and he brought that up. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, Lou. We'll be back with more Let's Talk Land with Lou Jewell right here on the New Wave, WKTE.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Land. Our show today is with Rodney Booth, our WKTE producer and owner, and we're reviewing the 33 shows, Rodney, that that we had. It's sort of like an index show here.
Yes, right.
We're catching
everybody up.
Well, a person can listen to this show, and then maybe they didn't miss some, you know, miss some of the others, or maybe just saw the title and weren't interested. So we're trying to bring some of the important things of each of these shows. I mean, there's a whole lot to these shows.
Yeah.
In fact, some of them we could use 2 or 3 hours just to cover the material, and may have to have some of these folks back. But we just finished Mark Selinger's from the Swamp School, and then Tom Smith, who's an accredited land consultant, owner of Tom Smith Company down in Ridgeland, Mississippi. I found him years ago on when the internet was kind of coming out, and he was calling himself the land man. He used to work for Walmart, actually, with the old man, Walton, and was CEO of a couple other, Home Depot and a couple other things. And he said, the hell with this coat and tie. He says, I'm going to get out and get me some land. He got his license and started the firm. And now I think he's got 3 offices and 10 or 12 agents. And I believe he's like the largest land company in terms of sales, listings and sales in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And
He was a character.
He was fun.
Yeah,
you should meet him in life. when we go to these annual conventions, and once you go to one, you won't miss another one for the Realtors Land Institute.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be in Albuquerque this March for our 19th annual show, although we're 75 years old. But that's who I hang out with, Tom.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah, for 3 or 4 days, and it's just, you know, and the people hang out, and he just keeps us all going. But we had a good show just talking about some of the issues that buyers have and looking for property and sellers have in selling property and the importance of working with a professional, hopefully with an accredited land consultant like us or at least one of our RLI members that at least have some form of land education because it's so scarce in our industry. Broadcast 15, that was Aubrey Cabrones. She's an MBA, but she's our CEO of the Realtors Land Institute. We'll be 76 years old. 75 years old next year, and RLI.
Will be or y'all will be?
Well, I won't be. I'm 69, but
no,
the organization.
The organization
yeah,
will be 76.
75.
Yeah. Excuse me.
No, I said it first.
Okay.
But we talked about the Institute, and we only have 1,200 members nationwide out of 1.7 million realtors. Yeah, we're very small. Mm-hmm. CCIM, I think, has over 40,000. That's the commercial, and then you got the other acronyms out there for property management, and like Lou Baldwin, SOIR, and IRM. These are all acronyms. But, you know, that was a good overview show of who we are and what we do. And actually, I've dedicated this show to the Realtors Land Institute. I'm hopefully promoting for other realtors that's listening, real estate agents that's listening out there to come join us. And also, we have the 15 courses. And you don't have to be a real estate agent or a realtor to take. You could take any of our courses if you had some interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that.
Very educational.
Very much so, yeah. And our national website is www.rliland.com, www.rli for Realtors Land Institute, land.com. And then our podcast 16 was my buddy down in Wilmington, North Carolina, P.J. Daughtry. Now, he's a CCIM. That's for commercial, just like the Realtors Land Institute, and that's a designation that, you know, and it's I think, in fact, I know it's the hardest designation to achieve in our industry. They have a 7-day boot camp. Your first class is 7 days.
Golly.
Oh, yeah. And
How long is your day?
It's a full day, 8 hours usually,
Whoa.
You know, with a lunch break. But
yeah.
It's a lot of number crunching and a lot of approaches because commercial real estate, even though in agriculture, you know, in land, we have cap rates, internal rates of return as a business. Well, obviously, if you're selling commercial land or commercial buildings, you know, you've got to, like your building, Lou Baldwin's helping you with
right.
out here on 52. What a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a good facility. Somebody needs to pick that thing up. You can do a lot of things with that and the visibility there. But check with Lou. He's got it on his website. But CCIM, is when they're selling commercial land, there's a different approach to it as opposed to me and Shada selling you just 5 or 10 or 20, say, recreational land out in the country. So make sure you check out Podcast 16 with my buddy PJ. Then we had Rick Taylor. Rick's one of our, he's an accredited land consultant, but he's one of our instructors like myself, and he teaches our forestry broker class. He's a broker owner of Mossy Oak Properties in Macomb, Mississippi, and he is also a consulting forester too. And I think one thing that I knew about but didn't really dwell on it in his presentation was soils.
Hmm. And that's a lot of interesting stuff there about soils.
Yeah. How you can have 50 acres on two sides of the road with basically the same tree species and the same growth, you know, and because the soil differentiation, one side may grow twice as fast as the other side. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking, investing in land for whatever purpose, you need to, you know, if you're looking for forestry land especially, you may want to work with a accredited land consultant like myself, or at least a consulting forester, and let them explain to you maybe the difference. There might be those two tracks, and the one that's growing the slowest may be more expensive than the one that's growing faster just because people don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So you know, it might be a bird nest on the ground. You've heard mm-hmm. that saying before, right? Yep. Bird mm-hmm. nest on the ground. Okay. But Rick teaches our two-day land class called Timberland, Fundamentals of Identifying and Evaluating. Mm-hmm. And that was a really good show. And Rick's a really great guy. Everybody loves taking his classes. And then we switched to Dr. Bill Hunt with NC State University, one of our professors. And I've dealt with quite a few in the soils area and the timber area and so on. And what a great school. What great programs they have. And we talked about biological and agricultural engineering and stormwater engineering and pond improvements and more. So when you are doing development, the requirements that you have to meet in order for soil quality and also for retention and so for erosion control. And there's a whole lot to that subject by itself, and we just touched on it with Dr. Bill Hunt. Then we had Russell Riggs out of Washington. Russell is our National Association of Realtors Senior Regulatory and Policy Representative for RLI. He handles legislative issues. If we have like the stormwater thing that we had with the streams where the government wants to take over right out here in your backyard, this little hollow down here, mm-hmm. that when it rains, it fills up with water. And if it's not raining, it doesn't. You know, they do regulate rivers and large bodies of water, but now they're trying to regulate every place that there's water. We've been fighting this for years. And because of our the Realtors, the National Association of Realtors, we are the second largest lobbyist in the country. We have over, you know, like I said, 1.6 million members, and we donate. I donate every year and encourage other realtors to do the same, to help these legislative issues, not only at the federal level, but the state level and even the local level. And then there's also money. I ran for mayor, believe it or not, at Pilot Mountain a number of years ago, and there were some funds there to help me offset the cost of my signs and mm-hmm. my advertising and stuff.
Was Otis your campaign
manager? Otis was my campaign manager. Yeah, and Shadow wasn't around then. That's why I lost. Well, I came in second.
Well, that's good.
But there were only two of us running.
Well.
But some of the issues that we're currently is the waters of the U.S., as one's called, the National Flood Insurance, and the Endangered Species Act, and the unmanned aerial vehicle, the drones, which they're still trying to figure out the best way to regulate those. And, of course, the Farm Bill and the reauthorization of the tax reform. So that's what's hot right now, and that's what Russell does every day, listens to the realtors and other people and forms opinions. And he's a lobbyist. I mean, mm-hmm. we have them, and they do serve a purpose. He's a good lobbyist.
Okay.
And then
he seemed to be.
Yeah. And then podcast 20 was Chad Polk, who's the CEO of RealStack, which is a website. Now, when we have these national conventions, we have vendors that obviously support us. And so while I was in Nashville last April, I went around to each of the vendors and told them about our radio show and invited them to come on. So they actually have a website, new software platform for land professionals, and it's a unified system for brokers' website and property feeds and lead management and reporting and so on. And, you know, we talked to several. We'll mention them here shortly. Mm-hmm. But the technology that's out there, I mean, I've been in this business for 30 years, and it's amazing the stuff that's out there, you know, with the satellites and with the soils. And I mean, it's crazy. Even the farmers now, we've interviewed a company, you know, and how they can take a farm that's maybe marginally making money and come in and through their scientific dallas and analogs and all the computer stuff and technology and fertilizer and so on can improve that profit base. So we're seeing a lot more of that. Then we had Steve Brockesom from Farmland Finder, and their mission was to make the world's farmland information accessible, similar to RealStack, but a different approach. And some of these are probably going to merge together at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And their company is called farmlandfinder.com, and it's doing that by creating an online search engine marketplace for agricultural real estate. So they're not in all states right now, but you can go into the states they are and see what properties are for sale, what properties are up for auctions. You can look at soil types. You can look at historical crops, what's been grown on them. So there's a lot of data collecting there that they're assembling. Podcast 22 was Clay Malcolm. He's with the new retirement IRA. Now, this one blew me away, and I think it did you too. This is where you can take your retirement account.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, say, like you work for whatever, Wells Fargo or a law firm that provides it or a hospital, and you've got the 401k or the different variations of it, or you set up a KEO plan or a SEP plan, self, you know, you can actually move a portion or all of that through a company like Clay's called New Direction IRA, and they actually manage that now as opposed to your other manager, but you're allowed to buy real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And or loan money. I mean, that thing is so complicated.
Yeah, it was.
And
we'll need him on for a second.
We probably right. need him on for a couple hours.
Yeah.
But their website is www.newdirectionira.com. And if you register on there, Rodney, they've got a lot of tutorial stuff where each of these different aspects. For example, I think I remember saying that if I and my wife wanted to do this and go out and buy land, that I couldn't participate in it, that Shada had to be the person. There were some quirky laws out there, and yeah. I didn't quite get all that stuff, but he's the guy, the go-to guy. Mm-hmm. And like I said, on the website, there's an email address for each of these shows with the person that we talked with, that anyone, if they have a question, can contact them. They've agreed to help you out. So if you want to learn more about moving your retirement plans, to a self-direct, and not only real estate, there's other things you can do with it too.
Yeah.
The key is you're managing your investment as opposed to somebody sitting up in New York or somewhere, don't even know you, don't care.
And you're not taxed on it.
And you're not taxed on it.
Yeah.
Well, all programs, so yeah. You might be on some, you may be right on all, but just to clarify that needs
You'd
to
have
be.
To ask him.
Yeah. I don't want to be an authority in something I don't know about. So that lets me out. That lets me out of most of them. Yeah, right. My disclaimer. And then we had Ben Cosby on. He's also a member of the Realtors Land Institute and received our National Realtor of the Year Award a couple years ago. And he teaches our site selection course, which is a 2-day course. And that's where, you know, every piece of land may have more than one use. It's called highest and best use. And if you're looking to do a particular thing, you want to have a garage for, you know, fixing automobiles, or you want to have a vineyard, or, you know, anything related to other than just, you know, regular land for building a home on and so on. Well, even for a home too, you go out and you actually look for land, and there's a methodology, traffic count, rooftops, income, accessibility, and so on. And that's what they teach. That was one of my favorite classes that I took back in 98. Then we had Kurt Goble on. He's also an accredited land consultant. He owns the Bell 5 Land Company. He's one of our instructors too, Realtors Land Institute. And we have a 2-day course on agricultural land brokers and marketing. And this is where you learn the basics of agriculture and how to make money, which is what it's all about. Kurt does a real good job with that class. It's one I haven't had and would like to take. But he was our guest on Podcast 24. And then we had Craig Brown with Investment Property Exchange Service. That's where you learn about the 1031, 1032 like-kind exchange. You've invested in a commercial property, and it's out depreciated or outlived its use, I'm sorry, and you want to do something else. So you sell it, and instead of paying capital gains now on any profits that you have, you can move those gains into another property, two or three properties. And I teach that for about 30 minutes in my Land 101 class, the different types. But we actually have a two-day course because it's very comprehensive. And Craig's one of our instructors as well. And then my buddy David Light, our Englishman that lives up in Maine on the coast, he published Farm and Ranch magazine, and then I guess sold his portion out and opened up Open Fences. Now, these are coffee top glossy catalogs, real estate catalogs, you know, with the big million, multi-million dollar farms out west. David's one of our supporters for our chapters and also for RLI, and a great guy.
Yeah, he's the one that talked like he was from down under.
I believe so.
Yeah.
You are very British, huh?
Yeah.
But that was a great show, too. We talked about a new website that we're, as realtors, land realtors, we set up a co-op back in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought his website, and this is going to be probably the go-to site in the future. We talked about that. So if you want to know more about it, you can tune into that one. And then we had the duo of Dylan Boone and his associate Leanne Moss, and they own AcreValue, pro exciting website for evaluating property, soils, and more. That's that high technology company they're part of. That's also backed by DuPont and Dow.
Mm-hmm.
They're the funders for this new, because that's who does all the chemicals and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're going. That's a show definitely listen to if you're in the farm business or interested in getting into that. But that was show number 27. And then we had Paul Bice. How did we pronounce that? Bars. Forgive me, Paul.
Mm.
Bars Schwal.
Something like that.
Yeah. But he was there's organizations, there's a lot of them, but there's the American Society of Farm Management and Rural Appraisers. And they've been around, God, since the 20s and have thousands of members, I think 40,000. But he was the national president. 2005 through 2007, and we talked about their organization, like the Realtors Land Institute, and what they do in terms of aiding farms and farm management and also appraisals, and they've got schools and designations that you can earn just like we do in our association. And then we had my buddy Fletcher Majors riding around with the top down.
Fletcher Majors.
Fletcher from Alabama, but he's also a JD. And one of our instructors actually has written a number of our courses, and we talked about two different ones. One's called transitional land, which is land that's going from one use to another use. And then we talked about the land investment analysis course, which is one of the required courses to get the LLC. And that's when you get into like the CCIM courses where you're looking at internal rates and caps returns and the spreadsheets and, you know, how to project the future value and the potential of the property in terms of crop production and or forestry production. And Fletcher has received our National Land Realtors Award more than once, and he got the Carl Meeks Award, who left some money for education years ago and was very respected. But that's the highest award that anybody can get in an organization, and Fletcher was awarded that last year. He's been a member, I think he's getting ready to go, in 47 years.
Golly.
In our institute. Yeah. He's the godfather. And then we had podcast number 30, and that was with Daniel Wagner. He's the senior vice president of government relations for the Inman Real Estate Group. And that is the, Rodney, remember, that's the, I believe, what the largest commercial real estate company in the country. They're out of Chicago, but they have 7 or 8 or 9, you can go on their website, the Inland Group. inlandgroup.com, right? And one of their branches is conservation easements. And Daniel kind of oversees that, but he's also does like government affairs because they're so involved with the government because of commercial and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also the state president for the Illinois Realtors Association this year. So quite a guy. And they want to come back on and talk about their IRA and investment program. So we're looking at rescheduling and having another one of their executives in the company do a show with us upcoming.
That'll be interesting.
But quite a guy. Everybody knows him in our industry, and he's just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then we just recently did Kirk Stanberry. He's an MBA and a BBA and a JD. He's from the University of Houston downtown, and he's coordinator professor for their programs on oil and gas and wind and solar. And he teaches our oil and gas and wind and solar two-day RLI class. He's not a realtor, nor is he a member of RLI, so we have instructors that come in that are experts in some of these specific areas that we need to know about, but we don't have anyone in an organization that qualified to be an expert in it. So we have several of those. And we also do a lot of seminars, too, that's open that you can go to our website, www.rlilan.com, and look at those and look at our whole program. And then a couple weeks ago, we did podcast number 32, and we had David Farmer on. He's an ALPC and a PE and a CGC and a CEO of Metro Forecasting Models. Now, you talk about a sharp cookie. We didn't talk about it. I'm going to have him come back on to talk about his company. But what we talked about, he was a member of the Urban Land Institute. We talk about the Realtors Land Institute, Realtors Land. This is the Urban Land Institute. This is for your cosmopolitan areas and your suburbs. And they're huge. They're worldwide, 70,000 members and extensive programs. And he teaches quite a few of them. They have designations too. But I want to bring him back on because his company, Forecasting Models, they'll take a city like Winston-Salem. And based on their analysis and the programs that nobody really does as well as they do, they can project, you know, the growth patterns of Winston-Salem for the next 30 years. They can tell you how many schools need to be, where they need to be built, how many shopping centers, how many new roads, I mean, so on and so on based on population, demographics, and so on. So we're going to have David on, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And that I definitely want to give him a chance to present what they do. And finally, we had Amanda Jenkins. She's one of our staff persons. We have five in Chicago. We talked about Aubrey Corbinus, who's our CEO. Well, Amanda handles, she's our educational manager. So all of these classes that we have, the 15, she's in charge of. And then actually other programs that we have in RLI, like we have a every year we in June, we bring in a number of professors, or teachers, instructors for different courses, and we actually have a 9 days that you can come because some of these courses are two and one's three. So you can actually come those 9 days and take enough classes to get your ALC in those 9 days as opposed to, like me, it took 5 years. We didn't have that many classes, and you had to travel and stay in a hotel or fly Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Georgia or Memphis to take these classes. And but Amanda does a heck of a job. I'm so proud of our staff. They're just they're always there for you. And
She was interesting also.
Yeah, very bright, very bright. All of our staff is. But we just got a little bit more in depth. We're actually rewriting all of our classes. We do it periodically, but we have a company. They just redid Land 101. Where it's more interactive with the students instead of me standing up there with a PowerPoint and lecturing for 2 days. It's a whole lot more role-playing and, you know, sitting down and analyzing and so on. And I'll be teaching that in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, in September. It'll be the first time I've taught my class with the new format, which I'm really looking forward to. What's next? What's coming up?
Well,
I'm going to tell you.
What's coming up?
Well, we're working on the next show is going to be, actually he's going to come to work with me, a gentleman that's been a lifetime member of Ducks Unlimited. So he's not an offer, so he's been at different things, not presidents in North Carolina and different regions. But he is a diehard Duck Unlimited guy, which is better than talking to the CEO.
Yeah.
So he'll join us next week, Rodney. And it's something. I'm not a hunter. I don't know if you are.
No.
I know Shada is.
Yeah,
Shada hunts every day.
Yeah,
but trying to get that squirrel yesterday was funny. That squirrel went by me three times. Shad, it's over here. And she'd go over there and here you go. The squirrel almost crossed my feet and over here. Never did get that squirrel, did you, Shad? You're losing your touch, girl. But, you know, USDA, their annual land report comes out in July. And that's where they take all 50 states and they look at pasture land and they look at ag land and they differentiate between either increased in value the year before or decreased. So it's an annual study that a lot of us use. But I'm going to bring in Carolina Farm Credit because back in 2016, they took the 54 counties in the western part that they're in, and they're doing land in increments of 5 to 20, 20 to 100 and 100 plus. And now we've got 3-4 years of trends here showing those acreage, and they broke up those counties in 3 or 4 counties. So and then the land report – which is owns Lands of America, Land Watch, and a bunch of other stuff, but they publish and just a glossy magazine that you can advertise your real estate in. They come up with a annual national report. So I'm going to tie those three, the federal government, a publication, and Farm Credit, a lender. It'll be local there, but we're going to tie that in and just sort of see what's going on with land prices around the country.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be a good show. And then we're looking at some more land websites, some of our sponsors to, you know, that I want to try to have a couple shows where we actually show how you search for land, the criteria on these different websites and how to use them. And then some of our top real estate franchises like Keller Williams Commercial and Mossy Oaks. And, of course, I'm United Country try to get some of those folks on and talk about how they approach land and farm marketing, which would be fun. We've got some digital mapping companies, MapRite and TerraServer Pro, and that's going to be a hard show to do because you can't really see a screen, although we can refer you to it. But there's so many. I use it all the time. I just went and looked at over 100 acres, and I'm looking at breaking it up. So I'll use that mapping tool not only to help me analyze it, but also to create my graphics for when I get ready to sell it, to put the acreage on or the track number or, you know, the features, the house, the water, the trail, the views, whatever.
Yeah, explain more of that to the folks there. It's interesting. You have it on your sign where they can go right to it.
Yeah, on our signs, we let our signs sell our real estate. We actually put the aerial topo floodplain map, if applicable, right there, usually on a 3-foot by 3-foot sign. So a person can pull up and actually see it's 51.23 acres plus minus. We always put plus minus. I'm not a surveyor, and I'm not guaranteeing anything.
Right.
So they can pull up and actually see that that's what that is as opposed to for sale and what the hell is it. Then we put a QRC on the sign so they can take their phone, hit the QRC, it takes them right to the MLS form. It has all the additional information, so the tax value and so on, how many acres is cleared, how many is open, whatever. And then if it's suitable for a drone GoPro, like finished one, we actually will put another QRC that's called Land Pro Land Walk, which I own that name. And we have a split screen, so we've got the little arrow going on the topo map and moving in the direction the camera lens is pointing, beside the actual picture with Shadow running in front of you with the GoPro. Actually, I have a harness for her that she wears that she does her own photography, and she runs through. But you know, but we're looking for more shows, land and farm publications, maybe some of the land waste and cleanup topics. The brownfields, they're called. I had a student down in Charleston, South Carolina, a number of years ago, and there was a company called Cherokee. And these waste sites, these old industrial sites, textile sites, chemical sites, when they abandon them, there's all kinds of waste. So that's a whole another world out there, these brown lands. And then another one is grasslands and range habitat out west. This is a national show. And pollinators. One of my relatives, kind of, sort of, is like the bee expert, one of the top bee experts in the world, and she lives right here in Stokes County.
Oh, really?
With a couple doctor's degrees, and is actually building a laboratory up in Francisco, as we speak, where she will continue with her bee patents and experiments, too. So I'm going to have her on, and we're going buzz
That's
on
right.
that subject. She calls me Big Bird since she was little, yeah. And then heritage preservation, and then the Land Bureau of Management, which is a federal program looking for someone that we can interview there. So there's a whole lot more topics on land. And if you have any ideas out there of shows that you would like us to do or topics that you'd like us to do, give us a call. My number is 336-669-1405. And thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like our shows. And if you have a guest topic that you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and any of our guests may email any of our guests for questions and concerns, as I mentioned. The show is for the public and, most importantly, for the real estate agents who do not have a source for education. All shows are downloaded after the show on www.letstalkland.net. They're also on Podbean. We're downloading those periodically. Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, and we're expanding that to give more opportunity. My email is lou@mylandpro.com. My cell number is 336-669-1405. That information is on that website. Now, Rodney, how do they get to us through the station?
All right, they can go to our website. Go to WKTE1090.com. Click on there. Let's Talk Land, the Land Pro, Lou Jewell, and you're heard every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 o'clock.
But we also have an app, too, right?
That's right. Download the Simple Radio app.
Simple Radio.
And you can listen to us anywhere in the whole world.
And not only me, but 24 hours of 24. Beach music and
that's
oldies.
Right.
And I hope we win the award this year.
I hope so. We'll soon find out.
Well,
this fall.
I got you 12 new voters, so
good,
hopefully
good.
That'll
Thank
be enough
you,
to enough to shift the award.
That's right. Hope
so. You guys do a great job, and I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Lou. It's been real. Thank you for having me on today.
Oh,
as your special guest.
You are my special guest.
Yeah. Thank you, Lou.
Don't tell my wife.
I won't.
Okay.
All right. This has been Let's Talk Land with Lou Jewell. We'll see you back here again next Saturday morning right here on the New Wave WKTE.